So we've been doing a series over the last, I think it's about 4 or 5 weeks, called Profiting from Proverbs. And tonight we're going to look at the subject of integrity. And if you've got a short attention span, then all you have to remember is this one verse: guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, Proverbs, I don't know about you, but I hope everybody here has been looking through the book of Proverbs since we've been preaching on it. But I don't know about you, but I find that reading one proverb is a little like trying to eat one nut. Have you ever tried to take one nut out, whether it's one peanut, and just eat one, and then put the bag back? Well, Pat knows that I have multiple bags of nuts at home. I've got walnuts, Brazil nuts, I've got various mixed nuts, there's peanuts and cashews. I really love nuts, and I find it impossible, absolutely impossible, to eat one and put the bag back. And Proverbs is a bit like a bag of mixed nuts. There's verses that are very different, covering different subjects. Some short, pithy verses, some longer ones. In fact, there's some longer sections on a particular subject. There's collections of verses that seem to be all over the place regarding the subject matter. It's a bit like eating a bag of mixed nuts. But I hope that you've got an appetite for them. I hope that you can't, having picked up this book of Proverbs, you can't put it down till you've finished the whole book. And I hope, like nuts do you good, and they're a great food, that this book is doing you good and is a great spiritual food to you. So integrity, some ways perhaps a bit off more than I could chew by picking the subject of integrity. It's hard to find a particular passage that teaches merely about this word integrity. But what is integrity? Well, it's a common enough word, but it's not a common enough quality. And integrity, if we have a look at a few dictionary definitions, it says it's the state or the quality of being entire or complete. It's about wholeness. Entireness is an unbroken state. Another meaning is moral soundness, honesty, uprightness, rectitude. Integrity, it's a quality, the dictionary says, of a person's character. And a particularly nice meaning is integrity means remaining uncorrupted by error. And that often has that meaning in the case of computers, when you're looking at your data. Your data has integrity. It remains uncorrupted by error. Different versions of the Bible can use slightly different words for integrity in different parts of the Bible. And the New King James Version that we use here in the church sometimes uses righteousness or truth or blamelessness, where other versions, like the NIV, use integrity. So you're getting a feel for what the word means and for what the word means in the Bible. So integrity is about behaving in a morally correct way, where each part of your character works consistently together. Indeed, one quality reinforces the other. And integrity and righteousness exceeds the demands and the letter of the law, and it goes way beyond compliance. The Bible talks in Romans 12, second half of verse 17, it says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Perhaps an easier translation is, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. That's what integrity is. It's about a transparency to your actions and motives that is pleasing and acceptable to all. Integrity is about being the same on the outside as on the inside. The same appearance inside as outside. No hidden agenda. Being pure, and by that I mean being the same throughout yourself. We'll have a look at a couple of facets of integrity, and I must apologise for this slide, there's just too much on it. But I want you to pick out a couple of... The thing about integrity, it is throughout the whole book of Proverbs. In fact, it's throughout the whole Bible it's talked about, and there's examples about. And integrity is not... If you've got a body there, integrity isn't like one organ in the body, and you can just take that out and examine it. Integrity, it's a bit like your blood system. It permeates everything, or it should do. And integrity is like a multifaceted, precious gemstone. It's not merely one quality or one issue, but it's a multiplicity of things that together build into a most wonderful whole. Throughout the book of Proverbs, instead of there being just... They haven't just collected together everything about integrity in one place, but rather there's many, many verses that illuminate the subject. And if we have a quick fly through different parts of the books of Proverbs, we'll get a feel for what integrity is. It talks about the fear of the Lord. Very famous verse in Proverbs. It's almost at the very beginning of the book. The fear of the Lord, it says, is the beginning of wisdom. And people who are righteous, blameless, upright, and have integrity in the book of Proverbs are those who fear the Lord. Those who are teachable, those who take correction. It talks about those people choosing their friends very carefully. And the issue of self-control is very important when it comes to integrity. It says those who have no self-control, in Proverbs 25:28, it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Self-control is very important because it means you're not going to be led astray by alcohol, and Proverbs has quite a bit to talk about that. It talks about people being able to speak graciously and people being able to speak straight. You've also got to be a good listener, but you're not to reveal things told in confidence. Integrity, the book of Proverbs says, is about being honest, not accepting bribes, not showing partiality to the wicked, not shortchanging others in any of your dealings with them. It says that you should be generous to the poor. You just had Red Nose Day. Were you generous to the poor? Talks about being diligent and hard working, not being violent or hasty or lazy, about honouring your father and mother. And really, it's you should be more concerned about doing right than simply going through the motions. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. In fact, the man of integrity enjoys justice rather than loving pleasure. Proverbs 21:15 says, it is a joy for the just to do justice. Now, I've probably not done justice to all that material there. But you've got a Bible. Open it up. Read it. Read the book of Proverbs and examine some of this fantastic material for yourself. But looking at our passage tonight, Proverbs, benefits of integrity. What can integrity do for you? Well, it tells us in verse 3 that we're going to get guidance and direction. Verse 3 says the integrity of the upright will guide them. And verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. And you also get deliverance from trouble. In verse 8, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. And we also get deliverance from death in verse 9 and 10. Most importantly, deliverance from spiritual death. Now, what's the opposite of integrity? Had a little look at some of the benefits of integrity. What's the opposite of integrity? Oh, of course, verse 10, the end result of integrity, it says, is that when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And Proverbs 20, verse 7 tells us as well that integrity can be taught by example. And it talks about how your children are blessed by the life of those who have integrity. Let's now look at the opposite of integrity. What is it? Well, this passage tells us, doesn't it? The opposite of integrity, first of all, is a divided heart. Instead of being together, integral, wholeness, what we've got is division, pieces, separation. And that's within a man himself. A man's heart being divided, he cannot stand before God. A house divided cannot stand, and a man whose heart is divided cannot stand before God. Hang on a minute. It looks like I've got that slide out of order. Terribly sorry. What does a lack of integrity do for you? Let's go back to the passage and look what a lack of integrity does for you. A lack of integrity. Proverbs 11:20 says, those who are perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. So what does a lack of integrity do? Well, verse 9 says you destroy others. The hypocrite, it says, with his mouth destroys his neighbour. Verse 6, you get caught out. It says the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Haven't we seen that many times in the newspapers and on television? There's going to be no profit for you if you've got no integrity. Because riches, it says, do not profit in the day of wrath. You're going to have trouble. Verse 8 says, trouble, instead of going to the righteous, comes to the wicked instead. And you're going to fall down. The wicked will fall by his own wickedness. And all your hopes are going to perish. When a wicked man dies, the word of God says, his expectation will perish. And the hope of the unjust perishes. And it's not just your hopes that are going to perish. But verse 3 tells us in chapter 11 that the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. You yourself are going to come to nothing. Everything you were and are faces destruction, taken apart, being dismembered. But that's not the end of you. It's just the end of all that you currently are and are living for and have set your heart upon and are looking forward to. And verse 10 tells us something, that when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. What a thought is that? At the end of the wicked, those without integrity, there's rejoicing, there's happiness, there's a triumphant shout in the streets. When the wicked perish, there is jubilation. Everyone is happy to see you destroyed. That's the slide I had out of place. What's the opposite of integrity? So we've seen a bit about what integrity is. We've seen some of the benefits of integrity. We've seen what you get if you lack integrity. But what's the opposite of integrity? Well, the opposite of integrity is a divided heart. Integrity means wholeness. That's one of the meanings that define the word. And the opposite of a unified heart is a divided heart. And a man whose heart is divided cannot stand before God. And a divided heart leads to hypocrisy. Because you're taking, or you're talking one standard and you're living a different one, because your heart is divided. And half your heart is saying one thing and half your heart is doing another. The Romans had a god, Janus, after whom the month January is named. And that god was two-faced. And the Romans used to say he looks back into the old year with one face and he looks forward into the new year with another. But can a man face two ways? Or can a man walk two ways at the same time? No. Hypocrisy is a dead end. And as it says in verse 9 of chapter 11, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbour. Another opposite of integrity is being perverse. And we've seen that word used several times in this passage. Being perverse is not doing what is expected of you. And integrity is contrasted with perversity several times in the book of Proverbs. It's there in chapter 11, verse 3 that we read, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And so on the one hand, you've got integrity and being upright. And on the other hand, you have perversity and being unfaithful. You're being perverse. Often, you're acting against your own best interests. Not only the best interests or expectations of others, but actually you're acting as a perverse person against your own best interests. Proverbs 19 verse 1 tells us, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one who is perverse in his lips. He is a fool. And Proverbs 9, verse 9 of chapter 10 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. Another opposite of integrity is being corrupt, rotten, or defiled. If our data has no integrity, it's a corrupt set of data. Who wants to have a divided heart? Who wants to be a hypocrite? Who wants to be perverse? Who wants to be corrupt, rotten, or defiled? Because that is the opposite of having integrity. And today, we've got a substitute for integrity. It's rule keeping. Today, you know, we don't have people of integrity anymore. We have people who comply with the rules. Today it's all about compliance, rule keeping. It's a modern Pharisaism. In modern times, leaders, particularly politicians, appeal to rule keeping rather than to having done the right thing. They say, I've done nothing wrong. It's all within the letter of the rules. And yet we know it stinks to heaven. There's a joke, isn't there? How do you know the politician is lying? His lips are moving. And it seems to be nowadays that as long as you don't break a rule, then you are safe. The problem is that rules don't and can never cover all the cases. The case nowadays seems to be keep the rules and therefore accept no blame or responsibility for your actions. And so now we've got, things have got adrift, haven't they? When I was a lad, expenses used to be the reimbursement of what you had spent to fulfill a task. Now, according to the TV and the politicians, expenses is the limit of what you can claim. And they all seem to be busy claiming up to the limit. And we see on TV people never feeling personally responsible for anything because they have kept within the rules. And so we get bonuses for success and bonuses for gross failure. What we should remember is it's principles that count. And we should be enunciating our principles and sticking to them rather than merely sticking to the rules or even constantly expanding the rules. Now, I'm going to talk about the current Labour government, but it's not because I've got anything against them particularly. All politicians, all governments fall under this same are in this same position. It's just, I'm talking about them because they're the lot that are currently in power. But I think it's quite interesting that since 1997, under the Labour government, 3,600 new criminal offences have been brought onto the statute book. Do you think behaviour in Britain has improved as a result of more rules, more laws? Absolutely not. In fact, if you look at the UK, I would say that behaviour and standards have gone down, down, down the tube. More rules is not the answer. Being obsessed with micromanaging by multiplicity of rules is not the answer. It's about principles and it's about a change of heart. Albert Camus, the French author, said, integrity needs no rules. And the Bible's view about law keeping is very different to the world's views about compliance. Now, integrity, you know, it's not an out-of-date issue. One of the most up-to-date companies in the world, Google, respects it and encourages it. And if you just look there, there's a URL, you go and look that up, and you'll be amazed what Google says on its website about the standards that it expects its employees all to keep, whether members of the board or ordinary members. It wants honesty, integrity. It wants a do no evil attitude in all its employees. It expects them to make sure they don't ever enter into a conflict of interest. Integrity is not an old fashioned idea that was good for the 18th or 19th century. Integrity is something that we need today and is a highly valued and respected quality. So, how do we get integrity? Now, I said before, if you cut up a body, you wouldn't find an organ with integrity in it. But the Bible often makes a reference to the core of a person, the central part of your character, as being belonging to the heart. And there's loads of reference to the heart in the book of Proverbs. And the heart is, when it talks about the heart, it's talking about the motive behind action. And it says that the motive behind action is more important than the mere action itself. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We are, you know, what we think in our hearts. And God sees the heart. He sees it, though we don't see it. And he weighs it. And God finds our hearts wanting. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. This is true of ourselves, and it's true of the people we see on TV, isn't it? We think we've not done wrong. We think we're okay. We think we're innocent. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Verse 16. But as Christians, our hope is not in our integrity, but our hope is in God's integrity. He will do what he has promised. In Psalm 26, verse 11, the psalmist says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. And then he says immediately, redeem me and be merciful to me. And he's addressing God there. And the Christian acknowledges that we still need redemption. And we call out to God to redeem us. Integrity is from the heart. So how do I get integrity? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 23:25 pointed out to the Pharisees that outward conformity to God's word or to any set of rules is not enough. And he accused the Pharisees of being like whitewashed tombs. Look pretty on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. And what we should be more concerned about is the reality of that necessary inward change. And we should ask ourselves this question: is our heart right with God? Is our heart right with God? Have we turned around inside? And then the outside change in our actions will follow. Too many people try to impose change on the inner man from the outside by putting, like, as it were, a suit of armour that is rules or laws, like an exoskeleton forcing you to act one way. But that's not the Bible's way. The Bible tells us that it's the heart of man. Jesus Christ in Matthew 15 says that the heart is from what comes out of the heart of man that defiles or ruins or spoils us. For out of the heart of man comes adulteries, blasphemies and lies and murders. And so our problem is that we need to get our heart right with God. In Proverbs 16 verse 6 it says, in mercy and truth atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord one departs from evil. And so ultimately we have to trust in what the Lord God has said, what he has said in all integrity. And we have to trust that he would keep his word. That's what the Old Testament people had to do. In Isaiah 45:22, the Lord God says, look to me and be saved. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, in righteousness. Or in some of the versions it says in integrity. God has sworn to the whole world by his own integrity that if we look to him, we shall be saved. And that's the message the Old Testament people had. And they had to depend on it. And Jesus Christ was sent into this world to make that atonement for our sins. And he transfers his perfect righteousness to our account. And we're clothed as Christians in Christ's righteousness. And so we have an integrity that comes not from ourselves, but comes from the perfect life of Christ. And he also satisfied God's holy demand against our sins by paying with his life and cleansing us with his blood. Christ made that atonement for our sins that is spoken about in Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by fear of the Lord one departs from evil. Christ is the proof of God's integrity, where he swore by himself and said, "Look to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved." And Christ is our perfect righteousness. Integrity is a matter of the heart. And God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, and he talks about the days that would then come, but has now come. "I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Christ's integrity is now ours because of that new heart that we have. Our God, you know, is a doctor, two doctors in the congregation. But our God is a doctor, but he is not a plastic surgeon changing our outward appearance to make us look a little bit better or younger or fitter. God is not a plastic surgeon. He's a cardiologist. He gives us a heart transplant because integrity starts at the heart. And if we want an upright life, a life pleasing to him, we need a new heart. And God in Christ provides that heart transplant. Out with the old and in with Christ's heart. So tonight we've seen a little bit in a flyover of part of the book of Proverbs about integrity. We've seen that it means wholeness. We've seen that it means righteousness and being upright. And we've had a look at some of the benefits of having integrity and some of the difficulties of lacking it. And we've seen that the world, even though some parts of it still long for real integrity, are trying to get by on a diet of compliance and mere rule keeping. But we know the only true integrity comes from a changed life through faith in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.